good to us, hasn't He? And praise the Lord, the stone was rolled away. And as you've heard me preach over the years, it wasn't rolled away so He could get out. It was rolled away so we could look in and see that the tomb is empty. In the book of Ephesians, for just a few minutes of time this evening, we ask that you pray for us, that God would just take His word and bless it. In the fourth chapter, and that you would just pray that God would just take His word and bless it as we go through our thoughts this evening. And I hope that it will be a blessing to you as well. Fourth chapter, the book of Ephesians. If you found it and like to stand for the reading of God's word, go with us, if you would, to where He says in the let's just start with the fourth verse of this chapter tonight. He says that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. And He says, but unto every one of us is great, given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And stop reading there with that eighth verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. But the Bible teaches us that there is only one Spirit, even as we are called, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And when He ascended, the Bible says in the seventh verse, but unto every one of us is given a measure of grace, but that is given as a gift of God. But He says unto us in His word that eighth verse, when he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And I'd like to preach about those gifts tonight for a few minutes of time. When we think about all that the Lord has given to us, has anybody received more than one gift from God? I don't know if we could begin to number all the gifts that God has given to us. That we'd have to find a starting place somewhere. And days gone by, many of the gifts that we received come to us even before the world was even in creation. Because the Bible says that God gave us the greatest gift, as He says in John 3:16, was that when God gave His only begotten Son, that you and I could be set free tonight. That we no longer have to worry about dying and going to hell, but that the Lord has delivered us because of the greatest gift given to mankind was God giving His Son, His only begotten Son, as John stood there and proclaimed, as He come walking there at the river of Jordan when He was baptized, and He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It wasn't just the world's sin, but it was my sin and your sin, our sin, that Christ came and He took away. And because He was the greatest gift, we can also receive additional gifts from God. And we have received additional gifts from God. And we ought to be thankful for every gift that God gives to us. We ought not take them for granted. And we ought not abuse them, but we ought to be appreciative of all the things that God has given to us. And the Bible says that gift that God gave, that over in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter and 15th verse, it says that Christ is called that heavenly and unspeakable gift. There's just not enough words to describe how good a gift that Christ was to this world which did not deserve Him. To you and I that did not deserve to have life. We deserve to die and go to hell. But God's gift to us made it so that we don't have to worry about that anymore. And we ought to be able to rejoice in knowing that our name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that we've got life when this life comes to an end. We've got a better place to go to. And the Bible also says that not only did He give us Christ, But in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, it says that God gave us the gift of salvation. What a wonderful gift that is tonight. To know that you've been saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. The old time preachers used to preach and they would say that you ought to know, you ought to be sure that you've been saved. You ought to find out. And it's not something that you ought to guess at, or you ought to just sign a book or a letter somewhere, but you must be born again, is what the Word says. You ought to have an experience that took place in your life to where that you saw that without Jesus Christ, you was headed to that awful place of destruction. And I heard Becky and I went to church on Friday night because Dad's church down there where they go was in revival. And I heard a preacher down there preaching for a few minutes of time as well as the evangelist that was there. And you know, the same word that you hear me preach is the word that they're preaching there. And I thank God for that. But the word that he said was that I didn't get saved to go see how beautiful heaven was. I got saved because I didn't want to die and go to hell. And salvation is what made that possible, that I could stand before you today and say, regardless of whatever else happens in my life, I do not have to worry about death and hell compassing my soul. Because, as they used to say, the old account was settled long ago, long ago. Does anybody else remember when you got the account settled and salvation come to your household? You know, something, when you think about your salvation, it ought not take a lot of preaching to preach you happy, or a lot of singing to sing you happy. When you think about where God brought you from, it ought to just make us happy to know that we've been saved and we received the greatest gift that could possibly be given to mankind. And I put this in and I'll move on. When I was growing up, I'm sure there was gifts. Christmas time, maybe there's a few gifts that was shared. But you know, in all the years, there's very few things I can remember that was given to me. Anybody else where I'm at? Very few things that I can remember that was given to me. But I remember back in 1972 when I received the greatest gift that this old boy could ever hope for. I didn't know it at the time. I thought I just gave my heart to the Lord and I thought it was just another event that happened. But through all these years, it's grown fonder and it's grown better than any gift that you could ever find that this world has to offer. Because it'll stay with you, will it not? He said that there is just one Lord, one faith and one baptism. It doesn't take a lot of different ones to get it right. It just takes the one to get it right. And then he also says in his word that God gave us the gift. In the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter, that God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. How would we know that we've been saved without the Holy Spirit? How would we know that there was even a thing known as conviction without the Holy Spirit? A lot of folks that talk about how that somebody else told them what was wrong or what was missing in their life. And places where there is no Holy Spirit, you need a man to tell you what's wrong. But where there's the Holy Spirit will tell you what is wrong in your life. And it is the greatest gift that we can preach about in this message tonight, because without the Holy Spirit, there is no conviction. Without conviction, there is no conversion, because there's no condemnation that has come in your life and mine. When you start adding it up about all these gifts that God gave to men, you'll see that God gave us some of the greatest gifts that this world could ever look for was found when God gave it to us. The Holy Spirit is what leads us and guides us. It rebukes us. It exhorts us. And sometimes it just comes along and just fills our cup up and makes it to overflow. And we don't deserve it. But I'm glad that God passes by our way with the gift of the Holy Spirit that blesses us. Many folks get afraid of the Holy Spirit when you speak about it, because they think all it is conviction. But I believe I have some of you that know what I'm talking about when I say it's not just conviction, but it's blessings that come by the Holy Spirit as well. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you and tells you things that nobody else could. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you and encourages you like nobody else could. There's times when we all have our head down, and no matter what man or woman says to us, it's just like water over a duck's back. We know it was there, but it really didn't do much. But some of you are witnesses that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it stays with you. It encourages it. It'll lift you up. And sometimes it'll even rebuke you and tell you when things are wrong in your life. Let me stay here for just a minute and I'll move on. Aren't you glad that you don't have to have a preacher to tell you when things are wrong in your life? You say, well, if we don't need a preacher, then why do we go to church? We go to church because the Bible says, fail not the assembling of yourselves together, that we might draw strength from each other. But it doesn't take a preacher to tell you when things are wrong in your life. The Holy Spirit will tell you when things are wrong. The Word will tell you when things are wrong. And it's not man to bring condemnation or conviction upon your life. It's God that brings the conviction upon you. And sometimes people, as Ernie preached here the other Sunday, many of us were just like that same illustration that he used. How many of you, when you was under conviction, thought the preacher knew everything wrong in your life? You thought somebody had been talking to the preacher. But you see, the preacher has got somebody that knows more about you than mom or dad, even spouse or brother or sister. God knows all things. Even those things which done in a closet, God knows all about it. That's what the Word says, is it not? And those things which are done in secret shall be shown openly. It's what the Word of God says. So we have the salvation. When I said that, or I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit, when I said about, it'll tell you things that you didn't even know about. Has anybody ever received word from the Holy Spirit that gave you insight to something that you've been studying, something that you'd heard about, and the Holy Spirit just showed up and taught you like no man could? Isn't that a gift tonight, Steve? And then I think about what Larry said in years past, that it wasn't the doctor, it wasn't the nurses, it wasn't a test, it wasn't even Carlene, who's a nurse, but it was the Holy Spirit who told him to go call his doctor. See, folks, the Holy Spirit knows all things. And if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll learn them and we'll grow in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Not only that, but God gave us the gift of eternal life. The Bible says that in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter and the 23rd verse, that God gave us the gift of eternal life. And I say the gift because it's only a gift to those that know the Lord as their Savior. And think about this for just a minute, then I'll move on. Every soul is going to live somewhere in eternity. Those that are saved are going to live in heaven. Those that are lost are going to live in hell. And eternity is a long time tonight, church. That's my people and your people we're talking about. But to those that receive the Lord, He's given us the gift of eternal life in heaven above. We don't have to worry about that awful place of destruction. But while we've received the gift, there are countless others out there that still have not received the gift. Some of them are your family. We might have some even in our midst tonight that have not received the gift of eternal life in heaven above by Jesus Christ. If you've not received it, then you've got eternal life, but it will not be in heaven. And people say, we don't like that kind of preaching because that's our loved ones that you're talking about. It's my people alike. It's all of our people. They don't get saved. Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. And if they don't have the gift of eternal life in heaven, then the Bible says that hell will be their eternal home. How sad is that? While we're receiving a good gift, they're receiving a gift of damnation. But yet it's not God's fault. It's their own fault. If any should fail, or any comes short of the glory of God, it's not God's fault. You can't blame God. It's your own fault tonight. It's our people's fault. And people don't like to hear that kind of preaching anymore, Sister Ruby, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If you live right and get right, heaven will be your eternal home. But if you continued to forsake God, then there's no other place that can hold your soul. The Bible also says in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse, that God gave us the gift of grace. Is anybody excited about grace? Because they used to sing a song that mercy called. Right? Mercy called. Or grace called. And mercy answered. Thank you. That what we go back into the Word of God and we find that it ought to make a church want to rejoice on a Sunday night and make God's people, whether they're Baptist, Pentecostal, Holiness, Church of God, Church of Christ, doesn't matter what they are. If you've been born again, we ought to shout and praise God for grace and that we're not still under the law. Because if we was under the law, we'd be hoping that one day the Messiah would come, and we'd be hoping that one day we would make it into heaven. Paul said a man that's only got hope is of all men most miserable. But we are no longer hoping that we have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we're going to make it to heaven. But you know what grace did? Grace made sure that everything is all right between us and God. That even though we didn't deserve it, and what I started to say, justice called and grace answered. Justice called. We all should have had to die, but here come grace. It was a gift, unmerited gift of God that He gave to you and I. That grace takes us and restores us in fellowship with the Lord. It gives us a purpose in our life. It gives us joy in knowing, even though we don't want to die. How many of you want to die? Saturday morning, I got up before everybody else did. And I don't know why I can get up so early on Saturday, because I sure can't the other 6 days. But Saturday morning, I got up early and I went down. I was telling some of the men this morning, I went down to the spillway. And I was catching, or I wasn't catching. I was watching those guys fishing. They was catching some fish. And every one that they would catch, and as they was reeling up, that thing would fight tooth and nail to get off that hook because it didn't want to die. I have never seen anything that really wanted to die. Everything God created wants to live. Every animal. I've never seen a deer that was ready to die. I've never seen a dog or a cat. Everything fights for their life. You go outside and you fire a gun, and everything within the sound of that gun will flee for its life. Because they want to live. We today, because of God, we may not be looking forward to death, but one thing about it, we know when death comes that we've got a better place to go. We got a better place to go. You know, He gave us that, but, and I said this a few weeks ago, and I'm not so sure that I got a lot of amens on it, but also God gave us the spiritual gifts. How many of you believe in the spiritual gifts that God's Word talks about? And I'm not going to go through all those again. I went through them just a few weeks ago. But folks, I may not understand them. You know what I find? If there's something we don't understand, we fear it as a human being. If we don't fully understand it, we try to stay away from it. I may not fully understand the Word of God, but I believe the Word of God. And if God says it, folks, we have to believe what the Word says. And some folks said in years past, God said it, I believe it, and that makes it so. Doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. If God says it, that made it so. But there are spiritual gifts that every one of us could have. And I've seen some of you embrace those gifts. And see, some folks get nervous when the preacher starts talking about spiritual gifts because they don't know exactly what it's all about. And we may not know what it's all about, but one thing about it, whatever God gives to us, we ought to use it to the best of our ability. If there's somebody that God has given a gift to, Instead of us, as I preached this morning, instead of us pointing fingers and accusations and trying to figure it out, we ought to just let them use what God's given to them. We've got folks in this church that God has given gifts to. Those that sing, God's given them the talent. They use it for His glory. And you can tell that God is pleased with their singing by the way that they sing. Amen. It's not just a song, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they begin to witness by the Word, you can see the power of God in the gift that they are using. Not only that, but we've got folks that have the gift of praying. That when things are down and out, you better get somebody at Mount Carmel to start praying for you. Because we got people here that know how to pray. They won't quit until the answer comes. And that's what we have need of. Then he also says it like this in his word. And I didn't write the word, I just try to preach it. In the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says that God gave unto us the gift of ministers, preachers, somebody that will tell us the truth. If you want to hear a lie, you can go about anywhere. If you want to hear somebody to just tell you to just live your life and everything will be all right, you can just about go anywhere. But if you want to hear the truth, it takes a gift from God to give you the truth. And the Bible says that God's gift to men is the ministers that He has called and ordained by His Spirit to preach the gospel. I don't say this because I'm a minister. I say it, I'm thankful that there was somebody who got up and preached that message to me that day. I'm thankful that there are still men who will proclaim the true counsel of the Word of God, even though we've got a bunch of fake ones in the midst of our world today. In fact, can I put this in and I'll move on? We've probably got more men called and mama called preachers than we do God called. That's trying every way in the world to persuade people that their church is where they ought to attend. Becky and Jeannie and Dad and I was talking. And there's so many churches that people have just given up on where the truth is being preached because they're looking for entertainment. They're looking for socialization to take place. They're looking for just fellowship more than they're looking for church, if I can put it that way. That's Roger's opinion. Folks, when I need entertainment, there's nothing that can entertain me like the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Nothing can. If I need to be part of a coffee club, we'll just get a cup of coffee and sit down and talk for a little bit. But when I need to go to church, I need to go to church. And I need somebody to tell me the good news of Jesus Christ, not some poem. Amen? Not some theory or some words that they have put together, but tell me something about the Word of God. Because that's what's going to give me the strength that I have need of. Not a pacifier. If I can put it in like that. We got too many people still stuck on the pacifier. Instead of receiving the gifts that God has given to them. And then I'll close with this. He says that God has given to us. Given to us. Every one of us. In the book of James, the first chapter, the 17th verse, it says that God has given to us all good things. All good things. You think about this. Everything that is good, God gave it to us. Do you have anything in your life that's good? Now, I want to get past the bad things. Because we've all got bad things. Amen? Some of you didn't hear me. Or maybe your life is good. But we've all got bad things going on in our life, do we not? But did you know that God gave us good things in spite of the bad things that the devil tries to bring along? If we'll look around in our life, we will see that God is still giving us more good than the devil has brought bad upon us. But we have to get beyond the picture of where we're at right now. Because when trouble comes, we become narrow-focused. To where we only see that one spot. But if we'll get past that and allow God to give us a panoramic view, we'll see that even though there's trouble, God is still giving us more good things than what the devil has brought bad into our life. He's given us all good things. In fact, James said like this. He says, all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variables, neither shadow nor turning. And the same thing that He's done for me, He'll do it for you. Can I close with this tonight? That's why I get so excited when I see God move on our brother's behalves or our sister's behalves. I've got a friend, a junkyard friend that I run around with every once in a while. Y'all know that. I shouldn't say I run around, I hang around. I'm down there trying to get a part here or there or working on something. And he's been diagnosed with cancer. And he's scared to death. I'll just tell you the way it is. He's scared to death. Talking to everybody, because everybody knows somebody that's had it. And he hears all the horror stories of the things that went wrong. Well, when he first was diagnosed, I said, he was asking me a bunch of questions. And I said, Chuck, I said, I know that there's been several men that I know of that's had the same cancer that you got. He's got prostate cancer. I said, I know several men that's had the same problem that you have. And he goes to church. I said, but they put their trust in God. And you know what God did for them? He brought them through. He gave them the victory. And I said, I'll tell you what. One of them even made a CD, made a tape of his testimony. I said, what I'll do is I'll get you one and I'll bring it to you. And I did. And people say, Are you telling him that God's going to do the same thing for him as He's did for these other men? I don't know what God is going to do for him. But I know this. God has got good gifts to those that will look for them. When bad gifts come along, you could do this. You could throw up your hands and say, that's the end of it. Or you can look around and see that God has blessed us with more good than the devil has brought bad against us. And the devil's going to bring bad things. How many of you have experienced bad things from the devil? Some of us are still experiencing it. But you know what? You can't blame God for it. Because it's the devil that brought it. God brings good gifts. And look around you. As Jim said this morning, look around you. And some of you don't want to look around. Look around you. Some of the best gifts that you could ever ask for in a lifetime is sitting right in this congregation. They're sitting right here. He's given us a good church with good people. And as Les testified this morning, so many people tell me, I've never seen a church like that. And folks, it's not because of you and I. It's because of the gifts that God has put here. It's the gifts that He put here. I've heard so many of you say, I didn't know I'd end up there. God put me there. And you know, when God puts you here, you'll be able to do something good for the Lord. He's given us so many good gifts. We could praise Him from now to the end of time and still not be able to even scratch the surface. But there's coming a day in just a little while that we'll have all eternity to try to thank Him for all the good gifts that God gave to every one of us. Robin, share and get a song of invitation. But this is the invitation tonight. Some folks might think that God has given more gifts to others than He has to them. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love me any more than He loves Larry Jones. He doesn't love Larry Jones any more than He does Jim Puckett. He doesn't love him any more than he does Brother Holcomb. God loves us all. In fact, I can go on and go even further. God doesn't love us any more than He loves the man or woman that's on death row. See, God loves sinners. That's why He gave us these gifts. So that men and women wouldn't be sinners, but that they would be born again, children of God. And many times, we fail to see how good God's been to us. Sometimes we look at others, we say, they got more gifts than I got. our boys at Christmas time, if I can put this in. When our boys was little, and Jeff likes to pick on me about this, what they would do is, Brandon especially, because he's a middle child, he would look at all the gifts that Tiffany got. And he began to count them up, and she would have more gifts under the tree than he would. And he still lets us know about it. But what he didn't realize is that his gift or gifts cost the same as what her gifts did. Can I put this in a spiritual analogy? Every one of us has got different gifts, but they all cost the same. Cost Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. We may have different gifts, but we have a lot of similar gifts as well. Would you stand tonight? Don't allow the devil to think that God didn't give you anything. God gave you a lot. Would you take that step tonight? Maybe you need to come and claim your gifts that the Lord has blessed you with, or maybe you've just not been counting the good things that God has given to you, and you've allowed some of them to escape your sight. It's God that gave them to you. And no matter how much trouble that the devil may bring, God has got better things for you than what the devil can try to take away. Trust Him tonight. Trust Him this evening. Yes. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. Yes. God will give you gifts to help with those burdens tonight. Take it all to the Lord and give it to Him. Yes. Well, they pause for just a minute. Some folks might think, and I'm sure, that this comes to their mind, that I just think that God can take care of everything. And you know what my answer to that is, Jackie? If God can't fix it, it can't be fixed. Because I read in His book that He's done so much for so many people. So many lives that was torn apart. So many hearts and so much turmoil. But it was God who gave them the gifts that they stood in need of. You know, He gave the gift to the man that was with the palsy, when He told him to arise, take up his bed. And the Pharisees, the church that was there, they rebuked Him. They scorned Him because He did that. And He said unto them, what is easier, for me to tell him to take up his bed, or thy sins be forgiven? You know, the gifts that God gives to us, the world looks at them and says, that wasn't much. But when you have it in your side, your own heart, folks, I wouldn't take anything for the gifts that God has given to me. I wouldn't take anything for them. The devil's tried his best to take them away from me. But you know what some of us need to do? We just need to drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to hold on. I'm in a storm, but I'm going to hold on. Because I know it's God that's going to bring me through. One more verse of this invitational song tonight.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles.
went along. Aren't you glad that God gave us so many gifts that we can't even begin to number all the great things that God has given to us in our lives? And I do appreciate it, His blessings upon us. Sister Joan, if we're not careful, we'll look over a gift that God has given to us. And I don't want to be inappreciative of anything that God does for us in our life. He woke us up this morning, Steve. Give us health and strength to come out to His house and be with our brothers and sisters. What a great God that we serve tonight. I hope you got something from the Word, from the service tonight you can take with you to the house and this week. And let's be much in prayer for each other as we go through this week. Remember that tomorrow morning, Sister Shirley will be having surgery. Be much in prayer for her at 11:45. I'll try to get it over the hill and up the hill to see her tomorrow before she goes into surgery. And then remember Brother Steve on Thursday that'll be having surgery as well. And all the other many needs that there are. Tom and Anita and their great need. Les and Teddy that was with us this morning and Arlie. Let's remember them in our prayers and all that they've gone through. If you look around, and I say this, and sometimes when I start feeling sorry for myself, I start looking around and I see so many other people that's going through so much worse than what I am. I didn't get the call that my son was in the hospital with double pneumonia and passed away. I didn't get the call that my son or one of my loved ones was over in that war and passed away. You know, you can look at life in many different aspects. And I'm not trying to take the shadow off me. I'm just saying if you look hard enough, you'll find that there is sunshine. Regardless how dark and dismal it might be right now. So let's remember each other. Remember our service on Wednesday night. And make sure you tell everybody about our revival and Friends and Family Day that's coming up in October and all of our upcoming services. This coming Sunday morning, Karen McPherson will be here, and we're looking forward to hear her sing and testify about how good God has been to her as well. Brother Jim.
You mentioned one of the gifts, and that gift was the gift of prayer.
Yes.
And I know that a lot of you got a phone call about a person who passed away, I believe it was last week. And probably nobody here in this church knew who that person was, but it was Shelly's aunt that passed away, uncle's wife that passed away. And Charlotte is a very, very sweet woman. That's her mother. And she doesn't know much about this church. If I'm not mistaken, she may have been here once, but I'm not really sure.
She has.
But anyway, she knew enough about this church and about the people in this church that she could have called probably a half a dozen churches to pray for her family. But she chose Mount Carmel to pray for her family. And to me, I thought about that at first, and I thought that's pretty strange that she picked us to pray for her with so many other options. But then I felt that was an honor for us to pray for her family. And there's been quite a few of this from this church that went up to the barn, and they know what Mount Carmel stands for. They heard Brother Roger preach up there. And he preached a wonderful message, and he preached what this church believes in. and they know what this church stands for. So we're not the only ones that know what we have here. Other people know what we have in this church, and I'm thankful for that. I'm actually thankful that she called us to pray for her family.
Amen.
Because there are a lot of good prayer warriors in this church. A lot of people know that. I'm thankful for that.
Amen. It's a great gift.
Yes, it is.
To have
it. It is.
We appreciate it. Anybody else got anything to ask before we close?
Brother Roger, I'd like for the church to remember my supervisor. She's, as far as I know, from her actions, she's not a Christian. And about a month ago, her husband, a manhole cover fell on his finger and crushed it. Well, week before, last week it was, he was out riding a bicycle, and he had a wreck on the edge and busted up his elbow. They had to put a plate, 6 screws in it, and then he broke 2 bones down here in the lower part of his arm. And she's got a daughter in college, and there's some people that's really giving her problems at work. One lady especially is doing a lot of bad things that she shouldn't do. Susan's going through a lot right now.
Yeah.
I have a little opportunity to talk for a little bit. And I hope that it left a lasting impression.
Amen.
I know one thing, they do call me the church mouse out there.